Thank you, Brother Hicks, for this ice cold water. Amen. We started 2 weeks ago on, or 3 weeks ago now, the building of the Christian home. And we talked about how the Christian home is built upon the rock. It has to be built upon the Son of God and the book of God and the plan of God and the wisdom of God and the house of God. And probably most importantly in all that, a commitment to God to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Last week we looked at the very important topic of the leadership of a Christian home. And listen, this is supposed to be the man, amen, amen, and amen, that leads his home. It's supposed to be the husband. We talked about the importance of leadership. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We talked about the beginning of leadership, and that is being a follower. Joshua was a follower of Moses. How important it is that we're followers of Jesus Christ. We talked about the basis of leadership, and that is the Word of God lays out the principles of godly leadership. We talked about the example of leadership, where Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We talked about the fallibility of leadership. Remember that story? Moses, that great leader of the Exodus, God told him to speak to the rock, and he smote it twice. Leaders are human. Amen. I like the quote. I've used it many times. The best of men are men at best. Amen. Remember that, ladies. Amen. Your husband is not perfect. Amen. Even though you want him to be, you pray for him to be perfected in Christ. Nobody's perfect. Amen. And so leaders sometimes make mistakes. The scope of leadership, we'll look at that just a little bit tonight, as well as all areas. Amen. The father, the husband is to be the leader in all areas. And then we talked about the great motivator of leadership, and that is love. How important it is. We're going to look at that quite a bit tonight. The word structure, I looked it up in the dictionary, it has several different meanings depending on what way you're using it. For our purposes tonight, the arrangement and interrelationship of parts in a construction. The manner of construction or organization. Just like anything that's going to survive, just like anything that's going to pass the test, just like anything that's going to continue on, the Christian home has a specific structure that it should be built on. Have you ever seen blocks that interlock? How many of you had Legos as kids, or your kids or your grandkids had Legos? Amen. There was a specific way to put Legos together. If you turned two Legos around and tried to stick them together, it just wouldn't work right. Amen. They interlock in, and there's a particular structure to the Christian home. And we're going to talk about the roles in the Christian home. Can I say this? And one of our dear people said this to me the other night. I was talking about leadership in the Christian home, and she had come to me, one of our widows, and said, "Pastor, I know what you're preaching there is truth." And I said this: praise God for even when things happen that we don't understand and the structure is interrupted, that God can still bless. Amen. Some of you come from a home where there was a divorce, and you still you leaned on God, amen, and you've seen God bless. Thank God, amen. Thank God that He still uses broken things, amen. But can we say this, that exception, again, and thank God for the grace of God, there's a particular structure that God wants in a home, that He shows us in a home. There are three roles in the Christian home. And I don't apologize for saying this. I know it's not in vogue. I know that states like New York and other states, and now even the federal government repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and very soon probably going to repeal the Defense of Marriage Act. There are three roles in a Christian home. It's a man, a woman, and children. Those are the roles. It's not a man and a man and children. And it's not a woman and a woman and children. It's a man, a woman, and children. Those are the three roles in a Christian home. Go over with me to John chapter 21. John chapter number 21. I don't care how the world perverts marriage. Marriage is ordained of God, and it's still a man and a woman. Amen, amen, and amen. John chapter 21. Look, if you would, at verse number 18. A very interesting conversation takes place here between the Lord and Peter. And it's the back half of a great conversation. But look at verse 18. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," here's the Lord speaking, "when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest.
But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Okay, Jesus speaking to Peter, he told him how he was going to die. History tells us that Peter was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified like his Lord. He thought it was too high and holy, but his arms were spread out. And it says in verse 20, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, of course, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? What's going to happen to John, God? I know you said this is the way I'm going to die, but what's going to happen to John? And I love Jesus' response. Said, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. What Jesus is saying here is Simon, I haven't chosen to reveal to you what's going to happen to John. What I need you to do is I need you to play your role. Don't worry about John's role. Amen? You take care of what I have for you. You know, I think of this idea of playing roles. My dad, at a very young age, taught me how to play chess. My father or grandfather was in Poland. And that was what they did to entertain themselves. And of course, no television, barely any radio back then in the early 30s in Poland. And they learned how to play chess. Did you know that each piece in chess has a specific role? You don't want to jump your queen out and give it away to a pawn, those of you that have played chess before. No, it's got a specific role. It can do different things on a board. You don't want to just be giving away your bishops or rooks. They have particular roles. I think of the idea of two of our precious service members. I think of a foot soldier. A foot soldier has a specific role, and so does an Air Force pilot. They can't just switch, Brother Epperly, and think everything will be okay. Can you imagine that? A foot soldier that knows nothing about astronautics or nothing about aerophysics just gets in a plane and says, I'm going to go. It's not going to work. He's got to play his role if we want to win the war. I saw something on Iwo Jima the other day, and one of the most difficult things was for the Marines to take Iwo Jima. It was the bloodiest battle in Marine Corps history. And there was one reason why we took Iwo Jima. It was 650 miles away from Japan, and our long-range bombers could land there. You see, the Marines had to play their role, and the bombers had to play their role. They didn't just decide, well, I'm going to play somebody else's role. They did their job. Listen, in the home, we need to play our roles. Amen. There are specific roles that God gives to us. I think one more example that comes to mind is I think of our softball team. Our teams, our ladies team, our fellows team. Listen, you wouldn't want me coming in and pitching. It'd be terrible. Trust me. I pitch batting practice to our girls and they'll tell you, it's terrible, Pastor. Amen. Mr. Hauser in our league, he's not here tonight, but Mr. Hauser has pitched 10 games. He's not walked one batter. But do you know he doesn't play a very good left field? He plays his role. Amen. Listen, in the Christian home, within the structure of the Christian home, we need to play our roles. It functions at its best within the structure when each one plays their roles. Let me give you some roles and some responsibilities and some pitfalls to being able to play those roles. The first role is in our text here is the man, the husband, father, leading in love. Leading in love. Look, if you would, at verse number 23, back in Ephesians chapter 5. Let's go back there. Leading in love. And it says there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife. Again, I don't care what the world says. I care what the Word of God says. Amen. The husband is the head of the wife. And what does it say there? Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Down to verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now, we spent a lot of time last week on the leadership of the Christian home. We'll not dwell here long, but men, we have some certain responsibilities to lead. We're to lead in all matters. Amen? By the way, you can delegate. My wife, for 10 years of our marriage, was a bookkeeper. It's very wise, Brother Horst, for me to delegate the financial to my wife. She's very good with it. Amen? That's fine to do that. Amen? But ultimately, sir, you are to lead in all matters. You're to have the leadership. That's where God puts you. Amen? Doesn't mean you're better than your wife. Amen? It doesn't mean that at all. I think a lot about that when I look at the Trinity and I think of how Jesus humbled himself. He put himself under the Father's will and the Father's authority. Didn't mean they were better. They're all God. Amen? But he humbled himself, became obedient unto the Father. A similar thing with the husband and wife here. Responsibilities to lead in all matters. This one, and we got to swallow hard on this one, fellas. We all love our wives, and all God's people said. But it says to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I hear sometimes ladies kind of making snickers about submitting to their own husbands. Can I tell you this, ladies? And I mean no disrespect. It's not always easy to submit. I've seen some ladies that submitted to their husbands and their husbands were buzzards. But they submitted as unto the Lord. But the man has the harder commandment. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's the kind of love, that self-sacrificing, selfless love. Sir, your wife needs that. Amen? My wife needs that. That's part of the structure of the Christian home, leading in love. Let me give you a third responsibility. And this is one particularly for some of our younger people, but you don't have to be young to appreciate this. Learn to just be a man. I wrote down in my Bible years ago, a Christian home may one day have little boys, but it first needs a man. And there's a lot of grown little boys sometimes in Christian homes, aren't there? That just want to be served and they just want to be lauded over. And listen, no. Learn to just be a man. Learn to be a man and just do right. Love your wife. Amen? Amen. Just love your wife and do right. Some pitfalls. What are some pitfalls to leading in love? What are some pitfalls? Well, some men don't lead at all. That's sin. How do you know it's sin? Because the husband is the head of the wife. If the head won't lead, you know, the head tells the body what to do in nature. Amen. Your head tells you, if you're going to stand there and I'm going to lift up my right arm, my head tells my right arm to lift. The right arm just doesn't do what it wants to do on its own. Some of you are old farmers. You've seen a chicken without a head. What is it? It's chaos. That's what it is. There's a husband out there that won't lead at all, that's sin. And then we have another pitfall for the man leading in love is what I call limited leading. Limited leading. What is limited leading? That's buffet style leading, Pastor John. That's the man only leads in the areas he likes. Still sin. Amen. Still sin. You're supposed to lead in all areas. Well, I don't have to take the leadership in this. No, sir. You have to lead. You have to lead. Your wife needs you to lead. Your children need you to lead. See, another pitfall. I've seen this. Lack of love. It's just always, bless God, bless God, bless God. And that may be all right from the pulpit. But it's not going to work too well in your home too many times. Lead. That's why God told us we're supposed to lead in love. You know, if you'll lead in love, sir, I promise you this, your wife won't have difficulty following. The problem is so many people lead in lordship. Got their feet up on the couch, throwing potato chips down. Bring me a soda! Well, I heard somebody one time quote, and they said, well, Sarah called Abraham Lord. But I don't think he was on the couch belching and making commands. Amen? I think he was the leader he ought to be because God said, I know him, that he shall command his house. Amen. I know what Abraham will do in his home. Not leading at all. Limited leading. Lack of love. Here's something, ladies. I know this will be tough for you, but some men don't lead because of feelings of inadequacy in leadership. Trust me. My wife was saved when
She was 8 years old. She had this Bible when we first got saved, and it was her. She had gotten it at the camp where she had gotten saved. And I remember opening that thing up, Miss Ruth Marie, I opened it up and it was highlighted, it seemed like everywhere. It was just, she had read that Bible so many times. And here I come, Brother Bittinger, and it's my job now to lead my wife in devotions. You know how I felt? About that big. You know why? She knew the Bible. I didn't know it. I remember coming to my wife the first time I ever read John 3:16, and I went like, I had this, just this shock and surprise look on my face. I said, "Have you ever seen this verse? This is awesome." And she said, looked at it and said, "Well, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." And she was kind, but I know spiritually she was rolling her eyes. And said, "I've read that a few times." There's feelings of inadequacy. And that's why we're going to talk about part of the wife's role to help us with that. And there are feelings of inadequacy in leadership. Another pitfall for fellows sometimes is just laziness. Listen, if you're going to have a successful marriage, you've got to work at it. Anything successful takes work, and all God's people said, don't be lazy in leading your home, fellas. I know you work hard. I know there's all kinds of responsibilities on you, but listen, there's not a more important thing than your home. It's more important than your job. It's more important than the structure that you dwell in. Amen. It's more raising your children and the relationship you have with your wife, other than your relationship with God, is the most important thing. So the man, the husband, the father, leading in love. Number two, the woman, the wife, and the mother, submissive in spirit. Submissive in spirit. Not only the man leading in love, but the woman being submissive in spirit. Look, if you would, at verse number 22. Verse number 22 of Ephesians chapter 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And I have "as unto the Lord" highlighted, marked, underlined twice. That's really the principle there, as unto the Lord. And then it says in verse 23, we've read it, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their husbands in everything." Let me give you some responsibilities to the wives. Let your husband lead. Let him lead. Sometimes if a fellow has some inadequacies about leadership, and maybe he has a track record for not leading, the wife just goes and pushes him out of the way, so to speak, and leads. Listen, don't do that. Please help me tonight. Amen. Help me. Don't do that. Let your husband lead. Secondly, another responsibility, help your husband lead. Help him lead. I've seen wonderful wives help their husbands lead. Making sure there's a Bible on the table at dinner time. You say, what is that? That's the easiest and best time to have devotions. You've already got everybody together. You say, oh, there's dishes to be done and things to be done. And I've watched wives say, hey, I'll take care of that. Go ahead and lead in devotions. Listen, there's so many ways to help your husband. You can encourage him. Amen. You can say, I appreciate you taking the lead. I'm going to tell you, when a wife does that to a husband, it's like saying "sick him" to a bulldog, Brother Holy. Amen. It just makes you want to lead your family. Help your husband lead. Let him lead. Something else, yield to his authority. He is the head of the home. I remember when we surrendered to go to Bible college, I didn't know what God was doing in my life. I knew He had moved in my heart to be a preacher, and I knew He wanted us to go somewhere and train. And so I came, my wife, we had gone to Midwestern Baptist College and looked at the school, and then we went back out to New England, and I came to her, hat in hand, Pastor John, as we were a newly married couple, and I said, I think God wants us to go to Pontiac, Michigan. And she said, okay. She dug in her heels the whole way in the U-Haul. There's two marks down the highway from I-90. No, she didn't. You know what she did? She said, honey, if you think that's what God wants, I'm with you. That helped me a ton, Brother Becker. I'll tell you, that helped me so much. Yield to His authority. Another way that you can be submissive in spirit, ma'am, is to prop up your husband to your children. Prop them up. Say, how do I do that? Don't you get your children, don't you appreciate your daddy going to work every day? God gave daddy his job, and we have the food on our table because your daddy
all day long hard working in that factory or at that officer. You can prop him up. You can tell your children, I love your father. Amen. Boy, ladies, I promise you, that'll help your home. Amen. It shows a submissiveness in spirit. And then also, as the Bible says, learn from godly wives. Learn from those that have done it. Learn from those who their crop has come up. Amen. Their kids have graduated. Learn from them. And there's some wisdom in this church, amen, that we could learn from. Let me give you ladies some pitfalls to being submissive in spirit. There are some ladies that will not submit at all. That's sin. Amen. Listen, I got on you fellas a little bit. Ladies, let me help you. If you won't submit to your husband's authority, it's sin. No. Stop. As unto the Lord and in everything are the key words. As unto the Lord at the end of verse number 22. And at the end of verse number 24, you see, in everything. We're to submit. And by the way, can I say this, lest someone take me out of context? That's always within the confines of this book. Your husband tells you to get drunk, you don't have to obey that one. Because it's better, listen, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's what it says here. Any of the husband's authority is confined to this book. But ma'am, if you won't submit at all, you're in sin. Something else. Submitting only in deed, but not in spirit. That's sin. Well, I'm going to obey you because pastor said and because the Bible said, but I don't really like it. I don't think that's really what God had in mind when He said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And how many a wife has done that and they went like this afterwards? That's still sin. Amen? Number three, another pitfall, not letting the husband lead. And again, sometimes this is partly the husband's fault. Maybe he's got laziness problems or inadequacy problems, and you say, well, somebody's got to lead. You help him lead and let him lead. The last pitfall is leading, obviously, because the husband won't. And we know that certainly is a pitfall. But listen, wives, mothers, women, God wants you to be submissive in spirit. Submissive as to your own husband. And then the last responsibility in a Christian home, the last part of the structure, is children. And children, whereas the man leads in love, and the woman is submissive in spirit, children are obedient, an oath of obedience. An oath of obedience. Your children, honestly, they have truly one responsibility. My children have one responsibility in our home. And that is that word that nobody likes. O-B-E-Y. Obey. I'll get Eric sometimes, and I've called him over for the third time, Pastor John. I saw Pastor John had tag today, and what a blessing that was as they were walking down the hall, and there was, like the Scripture said today, a weeping and gnashing of teeth as Tag was getting walked down the hall. I come to Eric, and I'll say, come here, Eric, come here. And finally, I say, come here. And I'll get right down to him and get right close in his face, and I'll say, obey! He jumps. Obey! He says, obey! You say, why are you doing that at 2 years old? Because I want him, when he is walking towards the street, and daddy says, come here, obey, to turn around quickly and remember the fright that dad put into him, amen, and obey. That is a child's responsibility in a home. Fathers, you should not have to ask four times. Amen? Let me give you just a few things about that, few instances. Children do not want to obey. They are sinners, just like you and I. Do you know sometimes we read this book and we say, I don't want to obey that. No. You, Pastor? I'm made of the same stuff you are. I look at that and say, boy, I don't really want to obey that. But I know it's from the Father and I should. Amen? Why? Because I'm a sinner. It's not in my nature to obey. It's in my nature to rebel. Something else. You will rule your children or your children will rule you. Amen? How many of you have ever been subjected to a candy aisle fit at Walmart? That's what I call it, the candy aisle fit. My wife and I have a strict policy. We do not buy anything in the checkout line. Nothing. Ever. So they won't even ask. Amen. I want a candy bar. I want a candy. Why? Because I've seen that. Mommy, I want a candy bar. No, sweetheart, we don't. But I want a candy bar. No, sweetie, I want a candy bar. No, we're not. Nah, I'm behind him going, come on, Mom. Hang in there, Mom. Hang in there. And that baby starts rolling around and throwing himself down and foaming like he was demon-possessed. Why? I'll tell you why. You either rule your children or they rule you. So it's up to us parents in the structure of the home to demand obedience. Demand it. Something else. Disobedience is tiring, but don't give up. I have seen this, and I'm picking on you tonight, Pastor John, but I've seen it with you guys working hard with Tag to be still in service. I've seen that, and how he tries and tests you guys. Amen. Hang in there. Amen. Hang in there. To all of us, I would say that. If you have a 16-year-old that's disobedient, you keep at it. Amen. You keep at it. As long as they live in your home, you have the right to command obedience. I don't care if they're 25. Amen. My house, my rules. When you pay your own way, you can have your own say. Amen, amen, and amen. Something else. Don't be a do-as-I-say parent. Many a child has gone off the deep end into sin because the parent was a do-as-I-say parent, not do-as-I-do. Amen? We're supposed to lead by example. We're not supposed to say to our kids, go out and go soul winning. We're supposed to take them soul winning. Amen? We're not supposed to say to our kids, read the Bible. We're supposed to read the Bible to them and lead them. Don't be a do-as-I-say parent. And then, lastly, and we already mentioned it, but demand obedience. Demand it. In our house, it is non-negotiable. Our kids are 3, and Luke will be 2 here in October, but now is the time we realize this, having watched children for so many years and not having any children, having watched them and seen them grow up, that now is the time for us to demand obedience. You know, if you demand it while they're young, you'll not have to command it when they're older. You say, oh, sometimes that doesn't work. And I understand that. Children make their own decisions and all that. But by and large, listen, we have to demand obedience. And listen, when our kids are obeying in our house, we have a happy home. They're happy. I'm happy. When they're not obeying, I'm not happy. And you can guarantee you this, when I get done, they're not happy either. Amen. Listen, let's just have a structured Christian home. Let's have the man, the husband, the father leading in love. Let's have the wife, the woman, the mother submissive in spirit. And let's have children with an oath of obedience. If we do that, we'll have a good, structured Christian home like God wants us to have. Let's have a word of prayer.